grafted in the branches after the seed has been planted. Then the tree comes up. And I've tried my best to tell you the dumb of man. Buried him by baptism into his death. Now he's got to hold him back. I said that. But I did not say that. If you read the book, then of 56 chapter of Romans, you see that I didn't say it. Leon, I keep saying.
Well, because of unbelief. They were broken off.
They were broken off.
And thou standest by faith.
Thou standest by faith. Now, wait a minute. Now, you make sure. You make sure that you read that last sentence in the book. And what my contention is there, I'm telling you that those Gentiles was not planted. They were grafted in by faith. And they stood by faith. That's the book. Now, if you want to argue, argue with the book. That's a fact. Grafted in, he standing by faith. Nothing on the roots. But the branches, that means after the tree has come up, the branches are out. Then every branch broken off. The Gentile grafted in. Missed the planting procedure, he grafted in. Missed that water baptism. Well, that's a fact you didn't argue with. You know good and well done wasn't baptized and nobody out there but the Gentiles, but the Jews. Plant. See? Why argue with the facts? Then I want to let you know this. See, God, down at Cornelius' house, gave them the Holy Ghost. This form. And why? What are you doing that for, God? Grasping them in. How? By faith. What did you do that for? I promise that in his seed, I'll bless all the families of the earth. And I'm fulfilling my promise of pouring out the Spirit on the Gentiles. Isn't that right? And it was now and then. Paul's talking here in the second chapter of Colossians, going right back to the same thing. In the fifth chapter of Romans. Okay. See, now, the Gentiles, he's glad. See, through his mind, see, then he understands that when Christ was crucified, he was crucified and buried with Christ and risen from it. See, without getting in that water. You see that now? Now, I didn't fix up this book. I had nothing to do with it. See? Now, under this dispensation of grace, Dr. Hogan went down there in the second chapter of Colossians and he read this. If he be dead with Christ, talking to the Gentiles, from the rudiments of the world. Why, though living in the world, are you yet subject to all these things? My contention is, preaching the gospel, that's what Jesus Christ came to do, to preach the gospel, and the remission of sins to be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And that is what they do. And they were baptizing them in the name when they were preaching the gospel. He said, no, I say yes. That's the argument. You decide. I said on the day of Pentecost, he that believes on me as the scripture, I said, how you better just throw him into living water. This faith here of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Or, but Jesus did speak those things under this, but they were John explained. This baby of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost was not given at the time. It was given on the day of Pentecost. And when they spoke preaching unto the Gentiles, preaching unto the Jews on the day of Pentecost, according to the law and according to the prophets, there was living water flowing out of this girl. Yes, it was bigger than that. But it's apparent, as he said last night about the youth, said that his water, see anything he can't see. You understand? It don't mean nothing to him. So living water flowing out of his belly, you couldn't see that. So it don't mean nothing to him. Doesn't mean it's great. There's a whole lot of things that need to be said, and one of the things I want to say right here. I'm glad you said that. That's true. That's what I'm glad you said that. That we were about down at his place. On Trigger Road. And if he was right about it, I'd say he could have me included, the whole entire audience. If he could take that book and prove it's right. And he said he was in perfect agreement and harmony with that. That's what he said. In other words, if that's the way it is, then if you're right about it, you can have all of this. I know what the man meant by that. He meant that we should study together. What he and I both should be willing to do was to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. Otherwise, there would be no point in having a debate. Now, I brought that up so I can say this. Brother Holden, I will be there. And you, the audience and congregation that belongs to the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research, please go down.
Stand up.
Do that thing.
Come on down. You like to say, come on down, man. Baptize you for the mission stand before I like the Bible teaches. Now, he says we ought to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. That is the last thing he said. That's right. That's right, doctor. Oh, you heard amen all over? That's what he said. We ought to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. David said, 119th division of Psalm, 172nd verse, all of God commandments of life. So we ought to submit. In Mark 16:16, he says, we've been baptized, shall we say. In John 3:5, except the man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We should submit to that because the Lord is part of that. And when you submit to that, then there won't be any difference between us. But when you rebel against it, this is how I show that it's the water that came out of that blood flow out of the belly of the believer in which men want to be baptized. Then, of course, there's no agreement there, because the Bible doesn't speak that. I ask you to read last night. I ask you to read in the Bible while you be baptized in that water. You have read it, yes. You have read that, yes. And I don't know why the doctor have completely ignored the arguments that I've put before you. I call attention to Hebrews 10:25-22. Let us draw there. With the two hearts put into the thing of the heart, Christ Jesus Christ's body is washed in pure water. He hasn't mentioned that. And also, respecting the man of Ethiopia, he just called attention to it and went there and said, I said, see. Why did he prove that to be wrong? He said, I don't accept anything that I can't see. faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I accept your faith. But when you have the gospel, you'll get the faith. When you believe it, you've got the faith. When you repent of your sin, that faith turns. When you confess that for him, that faith is knowledge. And when you're baptized, that faith obeys. Because he commands that faith. If you have the faith that leads you to obey God, you will submit to what that is because he commanded me to do it. I repeatedly have pointed out that the order of baptism men can administer is water. Have you ever heard him touch it? You know why he didn't touch it? He knows the truth. I also said the only baptism commanded is water. I pointed out Holy Spirit baptism that was commanded is the fountain. The only baptism commanded is water. Has he touched it? No, he just left alone. You know why? I don't blame him. Too hot to handle. And he's the doctor that he teaches. He'd have to give up what he's teaching. He admitted that he just left me to you. Let that alone because that's dynamite to my God. I don't blame you. I'd let it alone too. He's a commanded baptist. Commanded his disciples to baptize. That's water. Anytime it's commanded is water. I challenge him to read where anyone has ever ought to be baptized in the water that flows out of the bed of the disciples. I'm a receiver. When he goes on the day of Pentecost and faith as the third day ever. He said he was talking about the Holy Spirit. That was spiritual. And he modified it by saying, out of the sevenfold rivers of living water. That's rather John 3:5. Except a man is born of water and of the Spirit of God. He said those Gentiles, I have to hit these points that bring the problem. Those Gentiles were not playing. He didn't say. I got to reckon here where when I got up here and said he said thus and so, he said it. That's just how I did it. He did say it. Romans 6:4. He pointed out you could not be baptized in Christ's death because Christ is already dead. That's why John was baptized before he died. He said this was under the dispensation of the law. Tell me, I heard you. Then when I get up here and read, they ran in the same chapter. Why Paul said, you're not ever going to out of the grave. He goes, God, I didn't say it. I don't blame him if he said I didn't say it. Or Paul plainly said, you know, and he keeps running to John. I didn't mention it last night because it wasn't working. And it didn't work tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, John 15 was talking about an individual member, an individual disciple, not the Jewish nation. That is broken off. Go over there and get it. John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman.
Every branch
of me that bears fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges. That they bring forth more fruit. Now you see the word which I spoke of you. Abide in me, and I am a branch of my bear. I break fruit of itself. I have the summer fire under one of ye. It shall be abiding in the area.
I am the vine.
He is around on the hoop.
He that abideth in me.
He, not the nation. He that abideth in me.
And I
him.
Same
break for more from grief.
For
without me, you do nothing reach.
If a man abide not in me.
Oh, my goodness. And the man in Rome, in the 11th chapter of the Romans, just so they have grabbed it and said, they will not say it. They will grab it in. And then, bless your heart, turn right around and say they will play. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I made a note. Those Gentiles were not planning. Then after he went all the way around about this grafting in business, then he said they were planning. But it referred to the fact they were planning by faith. Now, how could they be planning and not planning? Now, first he said they were not planning. What read Romans 6:5? For if ye have been planted in the likeness of the death, you'll be also in the likeness of the death. And that was Gentiles from his text, the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Talking to the Gentiles, that was grabbing in and told those Gentiles, don't you go. Amen, doctor. I'm so glad you give me attention. But you give me attention, man. And then you get up here and act like you didn't pay attention to what I said. And I didn't say it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, He also called attention to the fact.
Now they grasped it in. Well, they grasped it in child obedience to God's word. Say it now. How are they grasping it in?
Ladies and gentlemen, those same people heard Romans 10:17, that they come with him. They couldn't believe without him. They believe. That's wrong. Romans 10:17, how Christ the 13th Christ, who them to call the name of the Lord, shall say how they shall call on him, in whom they have not seen, how shall be to him, in whom they have not heard, how shall they hear without a preacher, how shall they preach except to be sent? The 17th Christ, they come to hear it, and hear it by the word of God. They heard. They believe. Romans 10:9-10. They did it. Romans 2:4. They confessed. Romans 10:10. They were baptized. Romans 6:3-4. In the flesh. Romans 5. In the resurrection. Romans 5. Romans 6:5. And the yellow writing said they also in the light of the resurrection. So they were glad they were baptized. That was a plague! And that doesn't call Holy Ghost baptism. Holy Ghost baptism, that was a plague. You read why Holy Ghost baptism was a plague. Only two records of Holy Ghost baptism. On few blood over the day of Pentecost, just how it was the house of Holy Ghost, we didn't discuss it. Not a better record of the Holy Spirit baptism. Who told you to be baptized, Holy Ghost? Why did you call him for being baptized, Holy Ghost? This is special, not general. You yourself went to the first chapter of the book of Acts, quoted part of it. He be baptized, hope was not there again. But who was he talking to? He was talking to the apostles. He told the apostles in the 24th chapter of Luke, "I'm in the city of Jerusalem, till he be in Judah's house on high." And in the first chapter of the book of Acts, the apostles said, "Now, dear old brother, all the teachers get hold of you and teach under the agency to take up after the heathen of the Lord God, have given commandments to the apostles." And he said, "I know this is scripture quoted content. But I have to tell what's in that book. You can't quote it like that, brother. Don't get up here and criticize me for doing it. I quote it because I had it in me. I'm telling you. I give a commandment to who?
To everybody.
And who did he tell to say that? And wait a part. The apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive. After the passion of the day, the Empire was proof. He had seen him 40 days and people saying the same thing.
So many times I hear silence, and I'm reminded of my own sermon.
righteous to the 12. About this circumcision that is made without hands, but for life to 12, because of time is what I want. He said, I stopped. And I'm like, I didn't do it as such thing. Read. Buried in baptism. Right on. And I was ready with him to the paper operation of God. Who had written this? Said, who did operate? God did operate. Man did the baptizing, and the prophet is operating. He told him to baptize. Go to the baptize and baptize the man. Just one baptism he commanded. Man is here. The only baptism man can administer is what? So men, get the baptized. Finally! Because the Lord commanded them. But God did operate. Man doesn't forgive a man and cut a man loose from his sin. His job is to bury in baptism. And God's job to pardon the sin. Obedience takes place on earth. Pardon takes place in heaven. If you don't know that, I can't help you. Nobody else. We never have time to make him believe that we do the pardoning and baptizing. We are baptized, and God does the part. It's the operation of God. He's operating on in baptism. That is, he's cut loose from the sin, and God does that, but it's in burial and baptism. And the only one baptism is water, and man administers it. Bless your heart. You have been baptized, Lord, don't you too late for that. Only one baptism, and that's the baptism of men and commandments, amen. All right. Well, no need to be bothered anymore that because it isn't worth it. If I have a few more minutes, I want to call attention to a few more things. I wonder why, as I said, that you overlook the fact that the Lord teaches that our bodies should be washed in pure. And then I wonder why, if you go to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, by the Europe, they came to certain water. For the Bible baptism calls for coming to the water, of going down into the water, of baptizing if you please, and of coming up out of the water. I say to you, said, see, there is water. God, that is a literal water, natural water. Why even see? Why even handle? Why even go out into? Why didn't you show us the teacher wrong instead of going out there and hope and said, that said, see, here is water, and left that. Sure, I said, see, here is water. That's what the Europe said. But God said, even baptized, they got out of the trap, went down into the water, and the preacher was baptized to the Spirit. Did they do wrong? Did the Spirit guide the Philip into doing the wrong thing? When he taught that Europe, took him down into literal, natural water, and baptized, did the Spirit do wrong? According to that, that he did wrong, because that baptism is only under the dispensation of the Lord. Bless your heart. And Ephesians 5, wonder why he didn't get back. He had a chance, and my argument, I got on him about that, making the washing feet, and washing the church being cleansed and sanctified by the washing of water. You know what he did? He just politely let it flow. Every time he got on something, I went down to spanking. He didn't want to be spanked anymore, so he let it flow. Just like a little child when he steals sugar. You spank it, he's going to leave that jar alone. Yeah! He's going to leave that business alone, brother. That's what you let it flow! Because he knew that was a ridiculous argument. Pressure on him, trying to make washing feet to wash in the church. Bless your heart. You know one thing, he hadn't bothered John 3:5. I'm glad I took care of that. For it out, it started in the summer now. It started over there, Pentecost, and he admitted that is a dispensation of grace. I pointed out that it didn't start before then because the Holy Spirit didn't come until the day of Pentecost. I thought, how did he let that alone? Thank God there's one thing in this debate. I think Judge Doc will leave a lot of things alone. And you've been happy with keeping you around. Now, if he gets on and leave, you tell him to shut him up. You should have gotten on the while I was here working on. You see, gentlemen, this thing, now, you've been a lot of people sit down and listen to you. Hook, that's why what you say, hook, line, and center. But it isn't what I say. Gentlemen, I don't agree. I said it isn't that. It's personal. They got to use eyes so much, I want to drop my head. I did. Talking about an education and how to be born and supported. How popular. We're not interested in your popularity. We're interested in the truth. Preach now, ourselves that it's all but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, you're the same for Jesus' sake. All right. I have it down. how he came to California, how popular he was, and all that. And he even wound up and let me say, the first in the capital when they were trying to build themselves up and talking so much about themselves, and they'll turn it over. They'll give up like the old word of God, get a good bunch of them kick it over. After all that showing that he's worthy of his title, D.D. and Ph.D., turn around and look at the Bible through the D.D. and dumb dog, and that's his title.
Jesus said, "Did it come to us to fulfill all righteousness?"
can do it to you. I'm going to fulfill of all of the commandments of God. Therefore, it becomes not to fulfill all that. Not me. Fulfill, as you point out, means to perform out of the creed I inherit you the terms of. To carry out. I'm baptized, and I carry out all of God's commandments.
Hear the philosophy, the doctrine, the church interpretation of whatever word you would choose to call express. This will conclude the debate. And let us all now rise. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, only by God our Savior, the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, let us all say.
This evening we are going to be having a debate. This debate will be as follows. Dr. Robert Harris, a minister of the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research Incorporated, says that the Bible teaches that water baptism is not necessary for man's salvation now. And Lee J. White, a Christian of the Church of Christ, the address is 1409 East Florence Avenue, he says the Bible teaches that water baptism is necessary for man's salvation now. That each contestant will be given 25 minutes during the first half, and the second half, each will have 25 minutes each for rebuttal. And 5 minutes before each 25-minute session, we're going to ring a bell for a warning. And then 5 minutes later, we'll ring a bell, which means it's time for you to get down. So at this time, we'd like to hear, the first speaker will be from the Church of Christ, Lee J. White.
Gracious Father, which art in heaven, I'm grateful, of God, that thou hast given me the opportunity to honor our name this time. Realize, O God, that I do not deserve this privilege of being able to speak thy word. I realize, O God, that my heart is many times been rebellious against thee. But it's because of thy goodness, thy loving kindness, and mercy that thou hast given me this opportunity. I pray, Heavenly Father, that thou will glorify thy name this night. And give thy servant a humble heart, a heart of wisdom. Help him to understand and discern that which is good and that which is evil. Give him the courage, O God, to stand and magnify thy word this night. Be with him in those things that are right, and defeat him in those things that are wrong. Nevertheless, O God, not my will, but thine be done. In thy Son Jesus' name, we die for my sins, and for the sins of the whole world. I pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here tonight to be able to come together. Can't hear you? Hear me now? It's good to be able to come together to study God's Word. You know, I have often thought these number of years that I've pursued the knowledge of God, why there were so many different denominations and divisions among the sons and daughters of men. And this pursuit has stepped up somewhat. Because I see now that there is a need for Christianity to be magnified as it really is. Christianity has never been proclaimed in America as it should have, as it was during the early days of the Christian. Had it been magnified in that way, more men, women, boys, and girls would have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. I think perhaps the reason why this indifference toward the Christian religion, per se, like it is because men have failed to really accept and respect the book that we call the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but the Bible is God's complete revelation of his will to mankind. Amen. And every man, woman, boy, and girl will have to give an account to the Son of God on how they respond and handle the contents of this book. And I believe it was God himself who showed the importance of this book, and that he gave us three great warnings. He gave us one at the beginning of the book, he gave us one in the middle of the book, and he gave us one at the end of the book. And man ought to take heed to those warnings. The first one is found in Deuteronomy 4, the verses 2. And it reads like this. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep and obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we start adding to or taking from the book, we cannot obey God.
That's right.
We cannot obey God when we start adding or taking from.
Nah.
And I'll be honest with you tonight, as I looked at various religious groups, the first thing that happens when a cult begins, or another religion begins, the first thing they do is begin to attack the Bible.
Nah.
Right away they find differences in it. Mm-hmm. Every major religious or denomination have the King James Version, but they have another book beside it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get through dissecting it and adding to and taking from, they have watered it down until the standard of God has become the standard of man.
Amen.
And I think perhaps this is one reason why that God has given me this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm so great, but simply because I pursued the book.
Amen.
And many times I fall short of what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't bring it down to my standard.
Amen.
I climb back up according to the book, and I latch onto it again.
Amen.
This has got to be the attitude of every man, woman, boy, or girl.
Amen.
If they're going to please the Creator, you must look at this book as it being actually the inspired Word of God.
That's right.
And it's His revelation of Himself to you.
Amen.
And there is no other revelation.
Amen.
And that's why God warned the children of Israel not to add to or take from, so you could obey.
Amen.
The second warning is found in the middle of the book. It's found in Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 6. It goes like this. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Verse 6, He says, add thou not unto His word, lest He reprove thee. And reprove being put you to a test, and thou be found a liar. I have found that if you add to or play with God's word, eventually it will trap you.
Amen.
And you will be found a liar. And it's always getting angry when the word makes you out a liar.
Yeah.
It's nobody's fault but yours, because God has warned you.
Amen.
Leave it like it is. In Revelation 22, verses 18, the very last book of the Bible, we find another grave warning. Revelation 22 and verses 18, He said, for I testify, I say, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy, or the message, that's what the prophecy is, of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Amen.
Verse 19, He said, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of God, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, God's word is His divine will to us.
Amen.
We should reverence it. We should respect that.
Amen.
We should look at it as the word of God. And I believe this is why perhaps men do not respect God as they should.
Amen.
Right away they began to start rationalizing the book away. And when you start rationalizing the book away, then sooner or later you will find another religious group established.
Yeah.
Paul puts it this way in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, when it comes to preaching and teaching something other than that which is in the book. And he wrote this around AD 56. That's a long time ago. But this is what he said. In Galatians 1, verses 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel, unto a different gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, he says, but verse 7, which is not another, he says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but there be some that trouble you,
mm-hmm,
and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, it started first church, the church of Christ.
Amen.
That's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, men began to speak perverse things and pervert the Word of God, and out came the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And from the Catholic Church come all the rest of your denomination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The apostasy came within the ranks.
That's right.
And you wonder what's wrong today,
mm-hmm,
with religion? It's the modern-day Church of Christ.
Right.
the modern-day Church of Christ have failed in their mission.
Amen.
We have the basic key, or the Bible teaches the basic key to get a man in the right direction.
Amen.
And what we do is we have crystallized into another major denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there are some Christians that are preaching and teaching the gospel as it really is, in practice.
Amen.
But there are lots of us watering it down.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? Let me tell you something about the gospel of Christ. It breaks down the middle wall of petition when it comes to race.
Amen.
You can't tell me, had we been practicing the gospel as it's revealed on the face of inspiration, and I'm talking to the modern day Church of Christ, if you're here tonight,
mm-hmm.
that would have been no problem in the South.
Amen.
Amen.
Christians are the light of the world.
Amen.
We are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Our problem is that we have failed. We have watered it down and become another major denomination.
Amen.
Some, not all. I'm not interested in denominations. I'm interested in the Word of God, the rightly divided Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, you've never had freedom until you can understand the rightly divided truth.
Amen.
And you know what? It's not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that difficult to understand. Preachers have made it difficult for you to understand.
Amen.
And if they can't make it difficult enough in the Bible, they'll pull out something else to make it even more difficult for you to understand.
Amen.
God's way is simple.
Amen.
Like one pastor said, he's like a fool when they're there.
That's right.
I tell you, you can't tell me all these people that exist today are fools, are they?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it hasn't been taught.
Amen.
It hasn't been taught, and it hasn't been practiced.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Paul says, but though, talking about the respect for God's word, he says, but though we are an angel from heaven,
mm-hmm.
preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Let him be damned. Let him be detested. Let him be rejected. That's what's supposed to happen to people who pervert and change.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, but though we, he includes himself.
Man.
Paul said, I don't have the right to change this book.
Man.
I don't have the right to change it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and an angel doesn't have any right to change it.
Amen.
He said, if they do, reject it.
Man.
You know, we as people fell to falling behind religious leaders.
That's right.
That's not what Paul had in Acts the 17th chapter. The Bereans searched the scriptures in behind him daily
mm-hmm.
to see if those things were so.
Yeah.
They wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
We get today, we accept anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one reason why we probably do it, because it's too lazy.
Right.
We're too lazy to study, and preachers know that.
Amen.
They know that. So they feed you what you want. They become your God.
Amen.
And you go to hell for what by following it. The blind is the blind. Both following it.
Amen.
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 Notice 7. He told me. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul emphasizes how important again in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we are preached, let him be accursed. The Holy Scripture, or the Bible, was given to man for his profit,
mm-hmm.
and for his benefit.
Right.
God left it for our benefit. Listen to the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, if you please. In 2 Peter 1, verses 20. In verse 20 he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. One man's idea.
Right.
God didn't fix it that way.
Amen.
God didn't fix it so it would be one man's idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He fixed it